When I first started last December, November, you know, I just was thinking logos. I had no idea of thinking on a larger scale of web design, the retractable banners. And now I'm actually making product designs. And it blows my mind that...
Talk your shit, Cole.
It blows my mind that... My designs are now all over the world. Not just logo, but just different marketing materials.
Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
All right, welcome back, culture members. This is another episode of The Culture's Money. I am your host, Jamal Vitos. Some of you may know me on other platforms as Leo Grand Prince, but however it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for financial literacy, investing, and entrepreneurship. We have another good episode for y'all today. Another guest. The guests keep coming on and giving y'all so much information. I keep getting such feedback, and I appreciate all their time and effort. But today's guest is a really good friend of mine, just not just an entrepreneur, not a go-getter, but it's like a little sister. We met in college. I think this might be this is actually the second one, because I had a other college friend on a couple of weeks ago. So this is the second UB alumni that's come on. So I would like y'all to meet Bukola, a.k.a. Coda Designer.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, Coda. So tell them a little bit about you before we get started.
Okay, so I am an alumni from UB, and so I've always been interested in marketing and business development, and I'll say December makes a year that I have grown into being a graphic designer. I started off using the Instagram platform, and now I'm here. Almost a year later.
Okay. And we got to let them know you got a nice little anniversary party coming up that I was invited to. We got to wear pink. It's going to be a good old thing. By the time they hear this, the party's probably already happened.
Yes. So I am having a 1 year business anniversary / it's also my birthday. And it's going to be pink floral theme. And I'm excited.
Okay. That should be fun. Your story's a little bit interesting because we are so close. I kind of got to watch it from the maceration, which kind of gives me a good idea about what questions to ask. You did something that most people don't do. Like I saw you go through that ideation of, okay, my business is growing. And is it growing to the point where I can quit my 9-to-5? So kind of take people through that thought process of how it started, and when did you reach the point where it's like, oh my God, like I got to make a decision. Am I going to leave work or am I going to do this?
So it happened really fast, like surprisingly. Normally it takes time, but I'll say maybe about 4 months in is when I realized that I was having a consistent cash flow with this graphic design business. And at the fourth month, I'm like, okay, maybe I should focus on, you know, how much money I'm really bringing in, you know, in my expenses, and try to like focus on that from a business aspect. This is no longer fun. Mm-hmm. So then I'll say maybe 6 months in now, I'm starting to see a consistent amount of profit that is coming in, and I'm like, okay, so I have, how can I put this? It comes a point where, okay, what am I doing most of my day? Am I working on my full-time job, or am I working on my graphic design business? And while I'm working on either or, what is bringing me more money each day? And surprisingly, it has been graphic design. So it's coming to a point where I'm running out of time in a day to do my full-time job and my business has been making enough money where I'm now making a little bit more than I'm making monthly wise with my full-time job. So it's just like, so at this point in my head, I'm like, why am I working for someone else when I'm making just as much working for myself? Mm-hmm. But the reason why I'm still there is because I have to realize that if I do quit my job, my business profit is now going to become, it's going to have to be utilized for a personal expense, which, you know, my household, my car. So am I really going to have just as much money as I have now still working my full-time job with my business? So I took advice from someone who, she's an entrepreneur and she's been self-employed for over 3-4 years. And basically she told me, do what makes sense for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to stay with my full-time job because I'm still working from home, which gives me so much leverage to really work on my business. So it doesn't really make sense for me to quit yet, but far as like financial, monetary wise, I'm in a position where I can.
Okay. And it sounds like you went through a couple of things that are like, I want to touch on so people don't miss it. First, you got to the point pretty early where you saw the cash flow being substantial that you had to be like, whoa, like, let me really look into this. Because sometimes I, even when like I consult with clients, oftentimes they can't tell me what their cash flow is. Like they know they have a lot of money coming in, but they couldn't tell me where it's at, what the expenses is, what the business operation and all that. But you seem to have gotten there pretty quick because it went from, you know, something you thought that would be just fun and a hobby, and it turned into a real serious business pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Then you got to the point where it's like, okay, I really need to examine. I could break and leave the company, but there's no real pressure at this point, and it's beneficial exactly. for me to kind of stay. I'm assuming for stuff like healthcare and other things, it's more beneficial to let your employer pay for that than for you mm-hmm. to take it on as an entrepreneur early on, right?
Yep, that's right.
And that makes a lot of what I like to call fundamental and organizational sense. And I see it a lot on social media. I know you probably run into it with some of your clients where they feel as though just because the business is taking off, they have to leave. Mm-hmm. When it's really not, if you can, like, you're in a predicament, and let's not say God thanks the pandemic, but, you know, in this particular time, yeah. The pandemic has put you in a position where you could really run your business and your job from home.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your setup, but, you know, let's just say you got two computers in front of you and you can do two things at one time.
I currently have two computers in front of me.
So, you know, I can kind of visualize it. And I always tell a lot of my clients, like, people ask me all the time, like, Jamal, with the consultant, why don't you quit? For what? I like my job. And plus, it gives mm-hmm. me benefits of healthcare and other things that I don't really have to take on as an entrepreneur, because the job kind of handles that, no thought, no process. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole, you know, you got into that point. So tell me about, you said the business kind of scaled quickly on you. I'm sure you, you know, put out a little promo in the beginning, but did it scale so quickly word of mouth, or, you know, other clients, you did one job and that job, that client told another client and so on and so on, or you were promoting, or was it like a combination of both?
I think it was a combination of both. I did have fear in the beginning because I'm very much an introvert. So I did not post nowhere near as much as I do now that I have or made my page into a business. But so I post a lot, and I'm actually posting what I'm working on. And I think that is what people enjoy to see, because it's like real substance. It's not me saying, hey, logos are $45. I'm showing you a logo that I made, and that is this, you know, it's this reasonable cost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people, where they fail at, because they're selling so much on Instagram instead of presenting the product or the service in a totally different way. Whereas this is what I'm doing, and not so much this how much it cost to it. You know, you get what I'm saying? Because I see it a lot.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
But on the other side, aside from promotion, I definitely think it's word of mouth. And I know it's word of mouth because I now have a questionnaire when you fill out an inquiry and I ask, how did you hear about me? And a lot of times it's from a past or previous client. And people love professionalism. I mean, I do too. I'm a stickler for customer service, but people love professionalism.
That's a bar code. That's going to be the snip I use when I'm promoting this episode.
Yeah, people love it. And it's like, they not only do good work, but they see that I'm a good person and I stand on my word. Mm-hmm. So if I tell you that, you know, something is going to be due on Friday, you're going to have that email on Friday. Mm-hmm. And so people just respect that as well.
And that's so pivotal. Like, let's kind of stay there a second. Like, the professionalism, the word of my fault that when I've seen it so many times, we see it on screen. People are always talking about Black businesses don't have good customer service, So how did you, because again, I was around for this, like I saw you kind of go through the thought process. How could you provide the customer service and reply to customers, you know, in a timely fashion? Like, what was the thought process in that? Like, when did you kind of be like, all right, I got to figure out how I can manage my emails, respond to customers, that type of thing?
So when I started going from, you know, one inquiry to none a day versus to 5 and 6 back to back every day, that's when I realized that I need some assistance because my emails are pretty detailed, especially the initial ones, because it has the turnaround. It has so much information. And so, yeah, I can copy and paste, but I also like to make it personalized. Everyone is not asking for the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it took up a lot of my time, and which put more pressure on me when it came to the designing process. So I then had to make a decision that I need to pay someone to at least communicate for me, at least the bulk of it. So I think that happened maybe 6 months in, 6 maybe 7 months in. I think that's when I hired an assistant. And of course, you know, you always want to stay in the family and, you know, take the cheap way out. But of course, that didn't last long. And so I actually have an assistant now. He lives in Morocco, and I've never met him, you know, like physically. Of course, we spoke on the phone. But he has a virtual assistant company. They found me on Instagram. How, I don't know, but it was during a time where I was looking for a VA, which was, you know, a little weird, but that happens these days. You talk about a car and then the car pops up on Instagram.
I personally think the mic be on all the time.
So it's like, I don't know how he found me, but we are now, I want to say 3.5, probably going on 4 months strong. And he has been great. He has been really great for us to not, you know, for him to be in another country. He has been really amazing. And it's to the point where he kind of talks like me when he responds to emails instead of saying that he is my assistant. So people think it's me, you know, half the time, but really it's not. It's really my assistant. But that's how great he is.
It's so much there. Like, for one, let's talk about how you didn't initially, like you said, you talked about how you tried to, you know, do the family thing, you know, to kind of pitch pennies, which all entrepreneurs do. I've been there in the first venture I ever tried. Like, but we all come to the same realization at the end. You lose more money trying to be cheap than spending money. Absolutely. So when you get over that initial, okay, this cheap, you know, family first or friend, which is sometimes not a family, sometimes it's a friend, that doesn't work. And you find someone kind of like you said, who not only just doing the work for you, but they start taking on your mannerisms in your communications. Mm-hmm. And it makes your job so much easier because it's a seamless transition. It's almost what they're calling now in entrepreneurial circles as the automation and the systems. You have systems in place, like exactly. He's answering questions, because you know your business gets to a point where you have routine questions that all your customers ask. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to kind of free up and do what you really are supposed to do, which is manage, design, and really give the customers what they want. Because yeah, they have questions, but they're really coming for your artistic, like how you design certain.
Yeah. Definitely. I feel like it was more beneficial to put my focus and energy and time more so into the designing aspect and let, you know, a VA handle more of the administrative aspect mm-hmm. of the business.
Now, interesting thing about you, yeah, I know you studied marketing in college. I was there with you. We took some marketing classes. But, you know, I think, man, you had a idea of what you were going to do after college, which was, you know, getting to like the marketing and ad and industry. But your transition, I feel like, is so interesting because a lot of people get degrees in certain things. And though it might touch a little bit on what they studied, it's in a completely different skill set than they imagine. So talk about how You didn't really necessarily intend to be a graphic designer or thought you were one, but how did you develop that skill set and kind of realize that this is the marketing avenue that I'm in? And it may not be long term, but I'm just talking about the aspect of you right now.
So I think I was scared in the beginning because I was second guessing myself, and I've done graphic design for me and my friends, but you know, no one knew, so I was totally comfortable with that. But with me stepping outside of my comfort zone and really really narrowing down to and focusing on I can be a graphic designer, you know, reassuring myself, I feel like that's what brought me to this point. Mm-hmm. Along with consistency as well. But I don't know, did I answer your
question, bro? You sort of did, but it's not just the graphic design, because you do not just logos, you've also expanded the skill set to websites, right?
Yeah, websites. And now I offer a service where you can have a 30-minute phone conversation with me, and it's strictly on building a brand and identifying your brand. And that consists of not so much your name. I expect you to have at least your brand name before the phone call. But it talks about, we'll talk about like, your, you know, colors and what kind of style, because it's different, you know, modern, sleek. People like love glam. So it's different elements that we talk about on the phone to kind of pinpoint what you really want as a brand. Because a lot of times people don't, you know, they just want to sell something, or, you know, they see someone else doing it and, hey, I can make money too. But you really have to have a plan. And if you don't, you may not have to have a plan in the beginning, because I personally didn't. But once I started to take it serious and I seen that others were taking me serious, then that's when you have to start actually planning, you know, and making it make sense, basically.
I get what you're saying. Like sometimes, and a couple of friends of mine said on Twitter all the time, shout out to Todd Millionaire, that execute first and get fancy later. Like, you don't have to have the plan up front, but kind of like you, it's like, oh, all right, I'm gonna just do it. But 4 months in, all right, maybe I might need a plan. And then you were 6 months in, it's like, oh, I definitely need a plan, because this is more of a thing.
Yeah. And that's down to like policies. You know, when I first started, I was doing 24-hour turnaround, but there's no way in the world I could do 24-hour turnaround. But it was things I was doing in the beginning to get me to where I'm at now, I can say.
I wanted to double back on a couple of things. You were talking about when you consult with clients and they pick color, is that whole consumers react to certain colors thing, is that like real?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, when I mentioned different styles, that plays a part too. So I'm going to give you an example, and I'm not going to, of course, say a brand or anyone specific, but just in general, I had someone come to me and they have a, assisted living home. Mm-hmm. And she wanted glitter in her logo, but you are running a professional care center. So does that really make sense, you know, to add glam to this industry? Mm-hmm. And then look at your competitors. Of course, you're supposed to be different, but do you see any other, you know what I mean? So you have to be smart about, you know, I know things are cute, but you have to be smart about your decisions in business overall, because especially if you want to, especially if you see, you know, your business growing for the long run. So yeah, go ahead.
So in regards to that, is it a real thing that consumers might not buy a brand or might not look into it further if they don't even like the logo?
Yes, absolutely.
The color, just the color scheme, the design, all of that.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, everyone know, you know, it doesn't affect everyone, but it does affect someone. You know what I mean? So you just have to be mindful. And of course, we can't all please everyone. But again, whatever industry you're in, you just have to make sure your colors, the style makes sense with that industry.
So with your clients, of course, as we all entrepreneurs in the beginning, like you said, none of us know anything. So our clients really teach us. What do you think your biggest growth thing is from when you started last December while interacting with your clients to now? Like, what if your clients made you pivot to? And I ask that because I always have people who are always worrying about putting out the perfect brand, the perfect product, the perfect anything, but they never put anything out because they're always worried about the perfect brand, the perfect product, the perfect everything, instead of giving the clientele what I like to call an MVP from a book I read called The Minimum Variable Product, and then letting your clientele tell you what they like, what they don't like, what you should pivot and all that. So how has your clientele nearly a year later made you pivot? What are the things they've made you pivot your business to?
So the first thing I thought of was policies, because again, I didn't have any in place. You know, I was using Cash App, and no offense to anyone, but you know, that's not a secure platform. So now I send invoices out. I send reminders. And again, there's policies in place. You now know how many revisions you're going to get, you know, before we start charging, you know, how much your deposit is going to be and things like that. The second thing is that I've gained over time is trying new things. So one of the things you mentioned was, you know, sometimes people say they basically give you feedback about what your business and what you can offer for them. So a lot of times I have people asking me different things that I've never even designed before. And I will tell you if I can't do something. I'm very honest about that. But if I feel like I can do it, I will let you know. And most of the time, or I'm going to just go ahead and say 100%. Once I say I think I can do it, I do it. And so I've never done an ebook before. When I first started last December, November, you know, I just was thinking logos. I had no idea of thinking on a larger scale of web design, the retractable banners. And now I'm actually making product designs. And it blows my mind that...
Talk your shit, Carl.
It blows my mind that my designs are now all over the world, not just logo, but just different marketing materials.
And that's so dope. And let's kind of roll into, and I say this all the time, and mostly because people get the wrong impression about me, because you family, you know how I act on social media sometimes, but they don't realize how many social media platforms I've used to make business, whether it be LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It'd be money in them DMs. Y'all just be missing.
Yeah. I'm not one to, you know, no DM. I answer my DMs, you know, quick question, you do this, you do that. I'll even sometimes give a price if it's quick. Now, going into like a full-blown inquiry, yes, I'm going to ask you to, you know, email me or submit on my website, but I'm not one. I don't personally, I hate when people say no DMs. I feel like I look at it like another email communicator, you know what I mean? And it's not on a professional level as emailing, but it's another way to connect with a perspective. So why not answer their question? And who knows, maybe tomorrow or the next day, because it happens to me all the time. When I answer someone question, whether it's on my comments wherever, you know, they see you, they want to talk to you for a little bit, and then next thing you know, they're booking you.
And I definitely agree with you. It's kind of the same thing with the comments. People be like, oh, don't ask for my prices in the comments. Like, have you gotten so big that you can't respond to people's comments? Yeah. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I have been overwhelmed with comments before. Mm-hmm. But to just blatantly not answer anyone, that's just...
I think it kind of goes into, and I'm about to give probably free game on this, like, you know, seeing how you got a VA who does your email. I think a missed market is people hiring people just to answer your comments on Instagram, maybe even Twitter. Twitter's not as convoluted or as, overwhelming as Instagram comments can be. But I feel like that's a market that someone can really make some money, because sometimes if you get enough followers, like you said, them comments are overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I think if every entrepreneur or consultant spent an hour or two a day just responding to a comment, whether it be, you know, a quick okay or something like that, people like to feel like not only are they buying business from
it's
you,
greatly
that they
appreciate it.
Right. They want to know that they interacted with you. Is this a real person? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. all that. And I feel like sometimes that's the problem with, you know, small businesses. Like, as you grow, like, people don't want to lose the personal person-to-person stuff. We got enough Walmarts, enough Targets, mm-hmm. enough banks that you really don't know the people. Mm-hmm. But to say that, you know, my designer or my interior decorator commented on something, that's how the conversation started, I think kind of really gets overlooked. And that kind of goes into the customer service aspect of it.
Yep. I agree.
So in regards, because I always got asked this question with some people, like, I'm assuming your biggest clients have been complete strangers, right?
Yes and no. I'm saying no because some of my biggest clients are some well-known business owners in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But I do work with other people that's out of state, which are strangers to me, who have they have been some of my biggest projects. Right now, I'm currently working with a lady, but she's been a regular now. I've probably done about 5, maybe 7 different designs for her. But we are now doing a calendar for her, a yearly calendar. But it's going to be 365 pages. And lives in Chicago. So she never met me. You know, we talked on the phone. She never physically met me, but she trusts me that much with her brain. And that's what really blows my mind.
That's the power of repeat business, because you said you've done a couple of projects together, mm-hmm. right? And it's always like a client will give you a small project and then the projects grow and grow and grow. You're doing a lot of jobs. You're doing a lot of logos and building websites for people. So you probably have an insight to something that even probably I don't know beforehand for statistical analysis. What are like the big industries you're seeing a lot of like Black entrepreneurs, like where they're at? Like, is it, you know, tech? Is it service industry? Like, what businesses are they starting or expanding?
I'm definitely going to say service industry. The beauty hair industry is major right now. That's the highest percentage within the highest percentage of my clients is hair in the beauty industry. So, like, you know, lip gloss and skin products and wig making. That's the biggest industry far as Black owned business entrepreneurs that I have been working with. But I feel like that could be a fact, you know, in general.
Mm-hmm.
I also have been getting a lot of child care, and so I would say in general the service more so than a product is what Black business owners has been getting into.
Okay. That kind of gives me analysis. So usually before I wrap up, I like to tell people to give entrepreneurs, businesses, or business owners, give them, like, you know, your 2 minutes words of wisdom. Like, what advice would you give them to kind of jump into it kind of like you did. Like, even despite the fear, despite the, you know, the little bit of doubt and a little bit of anxiety, you still did it. So what would be your advice to them?
So I know some of this may be cliche, but it's really the truth. Consistency. Like I said, in the beginning, I did not feel comfortable with constantly posting, you know, 4 and 5 times a day. But that's what I did to get me to where I'm at now, where I can go a couple days without posting, but yet I still had sales every day. And then consistency and, damn, I lost my train of thought.
I love this podcast. People do that all the time.
Consistency and, bro, we got to do this part over.
No, I want it to be raw. Keep thinking. You said consistency.
Yeah, but I have
a lot. Would you always say, like, is it also belief? Let me help you out a little bit. Is it like also belief in yourself against the doubt?
Yes, definitely that. But it was something else that I was going to say about, professionalism. That's what I was going to bring back up. So be consistent and be professional. So your Instagram bios, you know, and your captions on your posts, we all, you know, boast a little bit, but remain humble. And People love professionalism. So there's times where you may run into an issue with a client, and depending on how you react to that and make them feel comfortable, and your resolution to that problem, it goes a long way. They tend to forget that something just happened because you are now compromising me in a different way. And it's sometimes unexpected, as well as a Black business. Sometimes people don't think that you are capable of having such a superior customer service.
Okay. Now give them your Instagram, your Twitter, all your handles, your websites, all that, you know, shout out your brand so they know where to find you.
All right. So I am Ko the Designer. On Instagram, that would be Ko_the_designer. My website is www.kographicdesign.com. We are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Someone will respond to you within that time period. And click that link in my bio.
It's Ko the Designer with a K. I don't think she made that clear.
I'm sorry. I just like Coco with the K. It's like, no, Ko.
See, as her brother, I got to remind you, like, let them know they're going to spell Ko with a C. It's going to be somebody else getting these sales. But we very much appreciate, you know, Ko coming on, telling us her story. I think hers is one of uniqueness because, of how she started, what she thought her career was going to be, and how it shifted a little bit to this point. It may shift again. I believe all our careers shift. I don't think that we're going to all be in the same industry now, or not in the same way 10 years from now, but I think this is a good story to relate to you guys. As always, we appreciate anyone who comes on and thinks, you know, giving us a little bit of time, not robbery. So this is another episode of The Culture's Money, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitose, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.